Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 8, beginning with verse 20, and we're only going to read a couple of verses there. And today we want to talk about harvest. Harvest. And in verse 20 of chapter 8 of the book of Genesis, "And Noah builded an ark unto the Lord, or an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." This was God's promise that he made to man. As long as the earth remains, these things will take place. Seed time, or time to plant. Harvest, a time to reap what has been sown. Cold and heat, the winter and the summer. Day and night. These things will not cease as long as the earth remaineth. And the complete Jewish Bible, verse 22 reads, "So long as the earth exists, sowing time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease." New King James Version says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." These things are going to continue on. And every year we see it. Winter, summer, we experience cold, we experience heat. We know there's a seed time, there's a time to plant. And we know there's a time of harvest, a time to reap that which has been sown. And I know, you know, some of us, like myself, I'm really glad that I don't have to depend upon my planting and harvesting to provide for my needs, because I'd probably be going awfully hungry. But I'm thankful that there are people, and I can look out the front door of my house, and I can see over at my neighbor's property, and I can see the huge garden that he has, and go by there, and he's out harvesting that which he has planted. And we went by yesterday and bought some tomatoes and stuff, and asked him, you know, about a few things. "Oh, I've just planted some more stuff, you know, and I'm going to be harvesting it at such and such time. God has said this is going to take place." So Yahweh God promised, as long as this present earth remains, there will be a time of harvest. And the season that we're entering into right now is in the harvest time. I remember as a child in Farmington, Arkansas, and I know something, boy, you got to be remembering back a long, long time. But I remember when I was a child. You see, I was the little country kid. I grew up out in the country, or at least I lived out there when I was very young, out in the country, and there were a lot of things I didn't know about. You know, I didn't even know anything called basketball until I started school in the first grade. And I know kids today, man, they know that from day one. Football? I don't remember when I first heard of football, quite honestly. But I was 7 or 8 years old, probably. There were a lot of things I really didn't know about because I was out there in the country, and we didn't have television and the internet and all this stuff. We had a radio. And during the day, my mom listened to country music, because that's about all we could get. In the evening, I listened to Bobby Benson and the B-Bar B Gang and The Adventures of Clyde Beatty and things like that. But I didn't know about a lot of these other things. One of the things I didn't know about was something that world's going to be celebrating in about about 50 days, something like that, and that's Halloween. I'd never heard of Halloween. You see, at that time, we had a big event that took place at school, and it was called the Harvest Festival. And I remember we had bonfires, and they had booths and various things. And you know, I went to a really large school in Farmington. It was grades 1 through 12. We didn't have kindergarten. It was grades 1 through 12. And if I remember correctly, the graduating class that year was only about 10 or 12 people. You know, it was huge school, you know. But we had this Harvest Festival. And I really didn't hear about some of these other things until I moved to California when I was 9 years old. And I remember my first Halloween that my cousins took me trick-or-treating. And they taught me some of the tricks of trick-or-treat. They handed me a bar of soap. So if they don't give you enough, mark on their windows with the soap. Well, I didn't do it. I put the soap back in my candy basket. And naive me, we got back to their house, and I'm looking through my candy basket. You know, we didn't have to check the candy out back then like you do for your kids now if you let them go trick-or-treating. But I'm reaching again, and I see this nice white piece of candy. And foam begins to come out because I had bitten into my little chunk of soap that they had given me. Well, I was never too fond of trick-or-treating after that. But Harvest Festival, it'd be kind of nice, really, if we did that today, had Harvest Festival. Celebrate harvest. Now, I know there are a lot of groups that can go out and say, you know, you can take anything that God has put out there and the devil can turn it around and make it into something bad. And there are some people who go out and they'll celebrate Harvest Festival, but they'll put a different spin on it. But you know what? The Bible talks a lot about celebrating harvest. There's Sukkot, which is known as the Feast of Booths, and that's going to be coming up pretty soon. And it occurs the 15th day of the month of Tishri, which is late September to late October, depending on how the Hebrew calendar falls. And God spoke to him in a lot of places about harvest. In fact, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, he says, 6 days shall thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest in earing time, and in harvest thou shalt rest. Okay, what's earing time? Anybody know? Well, let's read it from a different version here. It says, 6 days you will work, but on the seventh day you are to rest, even in plowing time, and in harvest season you are to rest. He's talking about harvest there. Take a break during plowing time. Take a break during harvest. Rest on that seventh day. In Exodus 34:22, he says, and thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks. What's that? Sukkot. And the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Well, guess what? We're at the year's end on the Jewish calendar right now. In fact, I believe it's the 19th is Rosh Hashanah, which celebrates the Jewish New Year. In fact, it's observed the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar as ordained in the Torah and Leviticus. And this year, as I mentioned, it is September the 19th. And that's one of the highest holy days celebrated on the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah. So it's of great importance to them. But it comes when? At the finish or the end of harvest. At the end of the harvest season. You see, God himself controls the harvest. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24 says, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth us rain, both the former and the latter. In his season he reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. God controls the situation. We can't make it rain. We can't make the sun shine. Now, I'll have to say that man has got to the point that he can actually block out the sun with pollution and stuff like that. But in nature, we can't control these things. We can, don't you love the weather forecasts? I remember back years ago when you'd see the weather report and the weatherman would come on and he's saying, we're going to have sun or we're going to have this or that. And my folks saying, well, he said it's going to rain, so it's going to be dry. He said sun's going to shine, so it's going to rain. And you know what? It was just about that way all the time. Whatever he said, it went the opposite way. And we've got all this great technology that we have today. Satellites that view the weather patterns. And these men and women that bring us the weather on the news and have had all this study and all of these areas of predicting weather, and they get on there and they tell you this is the way it's going to be. And here's our 7-day forecast. How many times does their forecast come out to be accurate? I jokingly look at the 7-day forecast every morning when I get up on the internet. And I tell Mary, well, it says we're going to have sun all the rest of the week. I get up the next day. We're going to have rain all the rest of the week. You know? And when it comes down to it, we don't know what we're going to have. Because God controls what's going on. It's God that sets it in motion. And it's God that controls the harvest. Harvest can also be associated with a time of judgment. Jeremiah in chapter 8, verse 20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Now the word used here, translated saved, is yeshua. And it has a number of meanings, including rescue, avenged, salvation, preserved, savior, as well as the word saved. The summer is ended. The harvest has ended. It's past. And we're not saved. What he could also be saying here is, we've got judgment coming. You see, if you go back and read the rest of that, there's judgment coming. And we look around our world today, and let's face it, folks, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, as they say. It doesn't take a great theologian to know. In fact, some of them are the ones that don't know. But if you've read the Bible, if you've paid any attention to what's going on at all, you know that the summer's ending. It's about time for God's harvest to take place. And there's a lot of folks out there that are not saved. There's a lot of folks out there that it's judgment that's coming. You know, we always hate to lose a friend or a loved one. But one thing we can do when that loved one draws that last breath, if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, we can rejoice with them. Because harvest has come for them. They've been harvested. God's took them home, and they've gone to be with Him. But a loved one that we knew was not saved or we had doubts about, it brings sorrow to us because we fear for what might have happened to them. Judgment is coming, and judgment's coming on this world. Back to what God said to Noah back there. As long as this earth, this present earth exists, you know, there's a day coming when this present earth is not going to exist anymore. God says in His word that He is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. You know, we talk about the end of the world and the Bible actually that translates the end of the age. This age has come almost to its end. In fact, if you look at it as people say sometimes the big picture, we're right at the end. I mean, we're at the stepping off point. I remember in the Army, I had this one sergeant. He was a battalion sergeant, staff sergeant, or first sergeant, I believe it was. And he had this saying, you got to see the big picture. You know, I see the big picture. You just see the small picture, but I see the big picture. And that's it. We've got to look at the big picture sometimes. So many times we get wrapped up in the small picture, what's going on right around us, and we forget what the big picture of God is out there. What he's doing, what his plan is. And his plan is for a harvest time to come. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What is the harvest that he's talking about there? It is not the corn that's growing out there. It is not going out and picking all the tomatoes or digging up potatoes or whatever else the crop might be. He is talking about a harvest of souls out there, that it is time to harvest them. The harvest is plenteous. There are lots of them out there. Do we actually know how many people there are on planet Earth today? No, we don't really know. We have good guesses, but we don't know. The harvest is plenteous. There are a lot of them out there. I used to tell people, especially if somebody talked about, you know, the no-no in church, don't steal other people's sheep. You know, don't steal other people's sheep. Don't go proselyte from somebody else's church. You shouldn't do that. I always told them, I said, you know what? I look at it this way. There's enough sinners out there to go around. In fact, if the churches would go out there and they would harvest that sea of souls that's out there, we'd have to be building more churches. All the churches in the state of Tennessee could not hold that harvest, because there's an abundance out there to be harvested. And he said, but the laborers are few. Who's the laborers? That's us. That's the Christians. You say, well, that pastor, he needs to get out there and he needs to harvest a few more souls. He can't do it all. God is saying it's partly your responsibility too. You are to go out there and work in the harvest to help bring them in. Besides, there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't listen to me that'll listen to you. It's your responsibility. It's your job to go out there and harvest. Bring them in. Get the word out to them. Harvest is ripe. The crop is ready. Matthew 13, 37 and 38. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39 goes on to say, the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And sometimes when that word angel is used, he's talking about not angels that we talk about in heaven. He's referring to messengers. And we're God's messengers. We're to be the ones going out and doing the reaping. Now, Gabriel's not going to come down and reap. One of these other angels from the heavenly host is not going to come down and reap. But he's sending us out to be the messengers of God that reaps that harvest. You are an important person to God. You are one of his messengers. You're the one that he's sending forth to reap that harvest of souls. And it's harvest time. It's time to be reaping the harvest of God. Yeah, there's tares out there. That's the ones that are planted by the devil. And let's face it, folks, we're not going to win them all. The devil's got some people out there that we're not going to win. But that shouldn't stop us from saying, okay, well, the devil's got somebody out there and I just can't. We still got to get out there and work at it. Crop is ready. Praise the Lord. It's not a time to procrastinate. Don't you love that word, procrastinate? What does it mean? Yes, my fine friend out there, procrastinate means postpone doing what one should be doing. Postpone doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's procrastination. A lot of us procrastinate in one way or another. How many of you hit the snooze button? I'd like to see a true show of hands. Okay, we've got more honest people popping up now. Some people don't. That's true. Some people don't. We set our alarm, and typically the snooze button gets hit 2 to 3 times. And I'll have to tell you, I used to say that 10 minutes, actually that snooze button only goes for 9 minutes. But I'll tell you, that is some of the best sleep you get. Is that 9 minutes in there between the time it annoys you. You know? But what is that doing? That's procrastinating getting up. It's putting off getting up for another 9 minutes. Beep. Beep. You know, we're procrastinating. Putting it off. We really like to procrastinate when it comes to doing something we don't really want to do. I'll do this tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, well, I can put it off another day. Another definition there is to postpone or delay needlessly. He procrastinated the matter until it was almost too late. And sometimes we do that. In fact, sometimes we procrastinate until it is too late. So it's not a time to procrastinate when it comes to the harvest. John chapter 4 verse 35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The harvest time is now. It's not going to be 4 months from now. It is now. And it's tomorrow and the next day after, but it is now. And this is the time we need to be concentrating upon for the harvest. It's now. It's here. It's present. Action needs to be taken. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Reading it from the New King James Version, it says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We can't procrastinate about salvation. The harvest is bringing salvation to people. Bringing them, getting them to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And today, he says, is the day of salvation. Why? Because you don't know that tomorrow's going to come for you. We think, well, you know, I'm going to live to be 80, 90 years old. And you may not live till tomorrow. None of us plan to die tomorrow. That's some date in the future. It's some date we're going to put off. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. You know, funeral homes, they want you to plan, do pre-planning. And you'll buy your cemetery property now. Plan your funeral now. Buy your casket now. Do this, do that. You know, take the burden off your loved ones. It's a good idea. But we don't want to plan for that a lot of times because we really don't want to plan on dying. But death's going to come to every man unless the rapture takes place. We need to plan for that day. We need to be ready because the day of salvation is now. Don't say, well, I'll put it off until I'm ready to draw my last breath, because you may not have the opportunity to do anything when that last breath is drawn. Death may come upon you so instantaneous that, as they say, you don't know what hit you. Now, some people get a chance to make a deathbed confession, a deathbed acceptance, but I wouldn't count on that because it can come so quickly. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The final harvest is coming. We've been talking about revival. And revival actually, too, comes into dealing with a harvest. Because when we get the saints revived, we want the sinners to come in and get saved, and that's when we harvest. But there's a final harvest coming. Revelations 14:14-20 reads, "And then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." There's coming a time when God's going to reap that final harvest to Christians. When the sickle of harvest, how many know what a sickle is? A lot of people don't even know what a sickle is anymore. A few of you do. And I used to have one, the old-fashioned kind, somewhere at home, and I don't know what happened to it, but I'm glad I don't have to use one of those anymore. But, you know, basically, when we see the drawing of the of death, you know, that's kind of popular, the hooded figure, he's always got that sickle, that scythe thing. He's come to harvest. Essentially what it is. God's got a final harvest of Christians that's coming. There's a day, and it's called the rapture, that final harvest of Christians is going to take place, and he's going to take us out of here. You say, "Oh, well, that's great. You know, I'd like to be." Well, you better be in that. You better be ready. You better have Jesus in your life if you want to be in that. Don't think that, well, I can wait till the last minute and say, "Oh, it's taking place right now, man. I see him coming." No, it's going to happen so fast that you won't have a chance to repent. So there's that final harvest of the saints. But then it goes on in verse 17. "Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar and had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, 'Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe.' So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into a great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the wine press up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs." And for you, those of you that don't know how much 1,600 furlongs is, that's 200 miles. There's that one coming too. That's God's wrath. It's coming. God's judgment. You see, you're either going to be a part of the harvest of God that he's taking to be with him, or you're going to be a part of God's wrath, one or the other. There's no two ways about it. There's no say, "Well, somebody's going to forget about me and I'm just going to lay out here in the field and they'll forget about me and go around me." You know, most people, when they go out and they harvest stuff, you know, you go by some of these farms and you look out and they're doing harvesting and they miss stuff, you know. And it just sits out there and basically is forgotten about. Back in Bible days, they did it deliberately. They missed stuff, and then the poor people were able to come in, and they were together this, and that's what they got for food. In fact, if you read the book of Ruth, it talks about that. She was sent out to glean what was left behind, what they deliberately. In fact, if you go on to read more, you find out that Boaz told them, "You leave some extra out there for her and make sure she gets it." But today, sometimes they just miss it. You know, they use a lot of machinery, and machinery sometimes misses stuff. Can't get into a tight corner maybe or something like that. So it gets missed, gets left behind. You don't think, "Well, I'm going to get missed both ways." No, you're not going to lay out there in the field and be left alone. You're either going to be a part of that first harvest or that final harvest of God of the saints, or you're going to be a part of the harvest of God's wrath, one or the other. That day is coming. A harvest is ripe. The harvest is ready. And today, if you're listening to me and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that the harvest is ripe. This is your day. It's your time. It's time to ask Jesus to cleanse you and forgive you of your sins today if you don't know him as your personal Savior. And for those that are listening to this message today, either by the internet or by MP3, And if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just ask you to pray this prayer with me today. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I realize that you gave your life for me on the cross of Calvary. Your blood was shed for me on my behalf. And I ask you to forgive me of all the sins that I've committed, both known and unknown. I ask you to change my life and to give me life eternal with you. I want to be a part of your harvest. And I thank you for what you're doing for me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're listening and you want to know more about salvation, log on to our website at www.tlhf.org and click on the How to Be Saved tab, and it will tell you more scriptures about what you need to do as for salvation. And those of you that are here in this place today, we need to be diligent in the harvest. We are the reapers that God has sent to go out and gather the harvest, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It's not a time to procrastinate. It's not a time to put off, because today is the day. And Father, now I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you have done. And I thank you, Father, that I'm believing, that I am trusting, Father, that as this message goes forth, not only in this auditorium, Father, today, but around the world by internet and MP3 player, Father, I pray, Father, that there will be a harvest of souls brought forth from it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.